You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Save the Planet. Now, I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not being critical here. There's a lot of people have different agendas on the planet. Well, let me tell you something, guys. I'm more worried about saving the people on the planet than the planet. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of the environment, do something about the planet. But sometimes we get so focused on saving the planet, and we literally say, to hell with the people, save the planet. And it is about people. Jesus did not die for this planet. He died for the people on this planet. And the Bible says that the earth, creation itself, groans and travails like it has a personality, like it's alive in a way, waiting for the day when Jesus comes back and fixes things like they're supposed to be. The very creation itself. And I'm not going to go too far with this, but I'm going to tell you something. Every once in a while, the planet rocks. An earthquake, the planet groans and travails. A volcano, it just can't take the pressure anymore. It lets it go. And God created this planet, and He made it for a reason, but He did not make us for the planet. He made the planet for us. Now, if it's not about saving the planet necessarily, and people are more important, then how do you save the planet? How do you save these people? And what does it mean to even save these people? I mean, it's not like you go outside and there's people drowning. I mean, if there's a small child standing out in front of the trolley train and it's about to run over them, you could run out and rescue the child and save that child and remove them from harm's way. But to walk up to someone who's got a good job, a decent car, a husband, a wife, kids, whatever they got, and say, you need to be saved from what? And I have some people that I know that I talk to and that are out there and kind of watch this God thing, this church thing, and there's something they don't understand. And there's this concept in the New Testament of this go out and tell people. And some people say, you know, this faith thing is very personal. We ought to just huddle up. If people want to come, let's just gather and do our thing. And if somebody walks by or hears about it and they want to come, that's fine. But you can't just go outside telling people about this stuff. There are a lot of religions in the world, and it's interesting to me that if you look at world religions, some of them are very to themselves. And they say, if you want to join, great. If you don't, fine. Muslims, a lot of times, can be very militant. They hit a country, and boom. I mean, they are trying to make converts. And it is amazing to me that people get a little disturbed about that. If you want to make people hot, you try to convert people to Christianity and use the name of Jesus, and they go ballistic. If it's Muslim, Hindu, whatever it is, people seem to be okay. But when you start talking about Jesus, they go bonkers. Right? Now, why is that? Why would God send us out into a hostile world? Why can't we just huddle up here and do our thing? There are people in this room today, guys, I have sat down and had a conversation with. And we talked about relationships, dating, this and that. But you know what? At some point, it's got to come down to something eternal, or you're not having a conversation with people, especially if you claim to know them and love them and care about them. Now, the New Testament uses this word evangelism. Okay? It says evangelist, the work of an evangelist. And some of us, most of us, I think, probably have this terrible preconceived notion of what, if you say the word evangelist and you're in some of the high channels on the UHF side or whatever it is, VHF, and some person with blue hair and, you know, whatever they're doing. And you think, yeah, just throw them all over there. That's some tele-evangelist, and they're going to, something will be exposed about them any day. And you throw that evangelist thing out there. Everybody that is a believer is called to be just that, an evangelist, to share. I was at a Bible study downtown at one of the major companies down there. We've started these Bible studies. And the second I walked in the room, this woman whips out this stack of pictures, okay? Stack of pictures, toss them on the table. Isn't that the most beautiful baby you have ever seen in your life? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is her baby. It is nobody else's baby. She is a picture-carrying mom. And she is not ashamed at all to do what? Throw pictures out there. She didn't ask, would you like to see pictures of my child? She invaded my privacy, invaded the conversation with these pictures. You know why? Because she loves that baby. And she is proud of that baby. And you couldn't shut her up if you tried. Of course, I used her as an example in the whole deal that day too. But she had something going on inside of her that she could not contain. We got some engaged couples in the room. I guarantee you walk up and you meet the guy and you say, well, is this a friend of yours? They're going to do something to let you know, yeah, if they're in love, yeah, this is my fiance, and we're kind of connected at the hip at this time, and we're kind of walking around together, and you know, you're going to tell just looking at them something's different. They're going to talk about these things, and the grandmothers are the worst in the world if you have a grandmother, and God help us all with grandmothers. I mean, they just go off the charts with t-shirts and, you know, the bags and the whole thing. But when you're excited about something, you're going to tell. That's how God ought to be. That's how your relationship with Him ought to be. That's how church ought to be. It ought to be a place where you don't just hesitate to talk about it. It ought to come out of you. But even beyond guys inviting them to church, that's a good point. Not everybody's going to come to church. And I hate to put it in crass terminologies, but what I'm talking to you today about is the marketing arm of the church. And the church, in a way, ministry has a marketing arm, the sales side. It has the customer service side. It has the warehouse side. There's a lot of parallels you can draw. But if you have a warehouse full of good stuff and you have no one saying, we'll bring it to you or you can come get it from us, you're just going to have a warehouse full of good stuff. And I'm telling you, we got a warehouse full of great stuff. Because we got a God who doesn't run out. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always awake. He always listens. He's always available. And He proved that He loved us by letting His own Son die, be buried, and raised from the dead. Now, those facts, the life, death, burial, and resurrection, that is what we call the gospel. And if you go back and look at these words in the New Testament of evangelism and the gospel, they're all tied together. It's good news. It's awesome news. Unless you've never heard that news or you don't think it's really true or possible. Now, I want you to turn Matthew chapter 28. And I've read this one before. For some people, it's a no-brainer. You've heard it all your life. Maybe you've never seen it in the Bible. So we're going to treat it as such. Matthew 28. And we're going to start in verse 18. And then we'll probably move left or right to some other passages. In verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I'm in charge. I've got all authority. I can do whatever I want to do. Trust me. Verse 19, go therefore, and really what it says is, as you are going. The command is not to go. The command is to make disciples. The imperative there is make disciples. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. And I'm going to tell you something, and I get very passionate about this. My job is to save the planet. And if you think I'm after this neighborhood or this city, you got another thing coming. My job, my responsibility, and your responsibility is to take the whole dadgum planet. And He would never have said do it if it could not be done. So get your sights beyond the neighborhood, beyond this city, because if people will see what God sees and do what God wants to do, guys, it's not that God is limited. It's whether we'll believe Him to do what He says He wants to do. You say, well, I want to get comfortable, just have a nice neighborhood church. Then you're going to have to throw some of these verses out. Our job is to take the dadgum planet. You say, well, not everybody's going to be saved. Probably not, but that's not my problem. My job is to try in the best way that we can effectively communicate the gospel. It's about getting people in a place where they can hear and understand clearly and succinctly what this whole God thing is about. I have people I talk to all the time, and it's like they come in with a 1,000-piece puzzle. You've seen these big 1,000-piece puzzles? I don't know who puts those together. I don't know what they're for. But it's like they've got this 1,000-piece puzzle, and somehow they've lost about 996 pieces. And they walk in, and by the time I get to them, they got these four little pieces. They say, you know, I got this thing about Easter, and something happened at Christmas, and I heard this at a funeral, and a guy said, this is a wedding, but what is this all about? And you start putting the pieces they have together, and you say, hey, what about this piece? And before you know it, you got them in this book. Now listen, this is the box cover. You ever tried to put a puzzle together without the box cover? You know what's on the box cover? The picture. When you just got pieces, you don't even know what you're trying to put together. You can do it, guys, but it's very confusing. If you'll get them in here and let them see what the picture is all about, then they take these pieces they have and they go, oh, wow, right, that's a corner piece. That works. This fits. Now I'm starting to get the picture. And our job is not to put the puzzle together for them. It's to show them how the pieces go together and then let God work in them and through them and show them how to make it work. You have people all day long, every day of your life around you. Their life sucks and they don't know why. And you sit there in your cubicle and you go on trips with them and you're around them and they see something different about you and they think you go to church here, but they're not going to say, hey, can I go with you? They're too proud. And they go day after day, they go, why is my life so miserable? I'm trying everything. I'm chasing women. I'm doing a little coke here and there. I've got these moments of joy and excitement, but it goes away. I can't keep this thing. I can't keep it going. What's wrong with my life? And then next to him in the cubicle is this person who's got the box, who's got the puzzle almost put together. And you forgot what they feel like. You know what? I sat this morning and asked somebody, tell me again what it feels like not to know him. Because we get so used to being there. If you've known him a long time, it's like being married a long time. You forget how lonely it is being single sometimes. How sick you get and tired of going home at night alone and climbing in bed alone. There are people out there who don't know what you know. They don't know who you know. And they don't know why no one will tell them what you know. You say, but I'm going to be pushing it on them. I had one woman one time I gave a little piece of information about Christianity at a toll booth out at DFW airport who was rude to me, and she said she was already a Christian and didn't need it. You know what? Whatever. The Christians are more rude to me than the lost people. And I'm not recommending go out here randomly and whack people over the head with a Bible. I'm talking about going through your day, and when you walk with God and you talk with God and you know God and you know He loves you, and He says, that guy right now, something happened. You don't know what happened. Just do this. Just talk. Say something now, because I'm working that side and I'm trying to send people in their life. You got to say something now. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit is desperate and so passionate. He's like, what are you thinking about? And guys, I promise you this, when God speaks to you, He is speaking to them. He always works both sides. I don't care if they look at you and tell you to go to hell. He is working whether they say the right thing or not. There are times when I am absolutely terrified. There are certain spiritual gifts, and I denied this for a long time, but I have the gift of evangelism. And it's almost not fair. Because I sit down with so many people and I talk to them and boom, like that, they become a Christian. And I talk to people and say, I've never had that happen. I've never even seen that happen. And I think, God, it's not fair. Why can't other people see this happen? And if there's anything I'd wish for you guys, I'd take you with me every week, every day, and let you sit down and see it happen. It's just unbelievable to see somebody go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. You say, but God can't do that for me. What do you think? I'm just a person like you. Get available. Jesus said, if you follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And we try to get people to be fishers of men without following Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. You'll have something to talk about. You say, but I don't know what to say. Listen very close. If you can get these words out, somebody can be saved. Okay? You say you know God and you have a personal relationship and you want them to have one. Here's what you have to say. Now listen, if you want to write this down, write it down. And I would up front tell them this. Say, look, I don't know what the heck's going on here. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not very good at this. But something inside of me is telling me to say this, so I'm going to say it. And if it makes you mad, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to push something on you. This is just what's up with me. But at a certain point in my life, I understood that Jesus died for me, was buried, and raised from the dead. And because of that, I know I'm going to live forever. Can you say that? Then you can witness. Then you can do what I'm talking about. And what if they come back and say, yeah, but what about all those people, yada, 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 yada? You say, you know what? I don't know about all that stuff. But I'm telling you, my life has been changed because Jesus died for me, was buried, and raised from the dead. Well, I think that's a crock of whatever. I say, you know what? Maybe you do, and that's your business. My privilege and responsibility is to tell you what he's done for me. Now it's your responsibility to do something about it. For years, I was terrified to talk to someone about these things. You know why? And I couldn't figure it out. My problem was I was afraid of being personally rejected. I thought that if I sat somebody down and said, Jesus died for you, was buried, raised from the dead, this whole thing is a gift, you can't be good enough, you'll never earn it, deserve it, you can't pay for it, you just receive it and say thank you. I thought if I told them all that and I said, would you like to buy my vacuum cleaner? They'd say, no thanks. And I'd go, oh crud, I got another, you know, they didn't buy my vacuum cleaner. I thought I was selling something. I'm not selling anything, I'm giving it away. If I said to them, would you like to have a personal relationship with this God? Would you like to receive this gift of eternal life? They would look at me and say no. You know what? It's not me they're saying no to. It's him. I'm just the salesman. I'm just the emissary. I'm just the guy that gets to show you what happened. So don't take it personally. You don't have to have all the answers. He is the answer. If you can get them to him, they're okay. And if you can bring them to church, that's fine. But I'm telling you guys, you live and work with people that if I sit down with them, they will not listen to me for a second. We have people in this church that have struggled with cancer. You know what? Some preacher coming in who's never had cancer, nobody in his family's ever had cancer, they're going to look at me like, what do you know about what I'm going through? But somebody who's lived with a person with drugs or cancer, whatever it is, you sit down, you're it. Nobody can do it better than you. You say, but I can't do it. You can. He would never have asked us to do something that we cannot do with his power. And I can tell you, gosh, it's just dozens and dozens and dozens of people. You know one of the things I'm waiting for? When Jesus comes back, or I die and get there, I'm going to have a little reunion with my family, with people through the years that God gave me the privilege to sit down with and say, you know what? Your life may suck, but I got an answer for it. And it's not me, it's him. And with your heart and with passion, tell them that God loves you, and because of that, you care enough to say something to them, and you're not going to let them die without him or live without him. And if they want to, that's their choice. You tell me you love your family, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sisters, your coworkers, your best friend from college. God help us all when we die one day and we make it because we have a relationship, and that friend and that coworker and that family member looks across the line and says, you know what? You said you were my friend. You were more worried about offending my feelings or something being strained. You didn't tell me about supposedly the most important thing in your whole life. You're not my friend. And you say, well, you're trying to put us on some guilt trip. You got it exactly right. Because it's not just them that lose, you lose. You go through your life, you carry this treasure, you hide it under a bushel, the Bible says. Where do they put lighthouses? They don't put them down in valleys. They put them up on the highest peak they can find so everybody can see it. Be a lighthouse where you are. Be salt at work. Add some flavor to the thing. You say, I'm going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble anyway. You say, well, I didn't come to church for this. I don't want to hear some sermon about going out and taking the planet. Guys, it's not me making this up. It's all over this book. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost anywhere, anybody, anytime. I believe there's a day coming when we'll have people's couples, singles standing up here, and we'll be paying their way to some place on the planet. We'll be going as a church to countries somewhere else to tell people who aren't going to hear it because God's leading us to go. So you better get ready. And it might be 3 miles from here in a tough neighborhood that nobody will go. Start at home. Let me give you one other verse, and I may give you a story to read on your own time. Romans chapter 10. Just go write about 3 or 4 books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 10. Now listen to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, don't think that preacher means me. That word preacher means anybody who goes and proclaims it. Now, the question is, how are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed, number one? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as is written? And he goes on there. Guys, somebody's got to tell the story. And our privilege, and I cannot frankly come up with any other reason why I am still on the planet but this. If heaven is so great, and it is, and it cost God his own son Jesus' life to get us there, and it did, then what the heck are we doing in this auditorium? Why aren't we in heaven? He better have a good reason, and he does, because there are people who don't know and won't know unless we individually and collectively go out and proclaim it and tell them. You say, well, that's pretty out there. That's like sharing your faith openly, and I can't do that. You know, you do it about everything else. Anybody ever gotten a new car? Anybody who got a new car and showed that new car to someone and told them how excited they were? We're doing it with everything else in our lives. Now, I'm really not trying to lay a guilt trip on you guys. I'm just telling you, this is where it all comes down. There's nothing at stake here but somebody's life. And you say, well, that's not my problem. Then whose problem is it? Is it mine? Yeah, it's your problem. I'll come to this church, but that's your problem. No, let me tell you something. It's our problem. Because there are people you know that I'll never talk to. There's a statistic I read. If an evangelist had meetings every night and 1,000 people became a Christian every night until everyone was saved, it would take 10,000 years every night. One person at 1,000 a day cannot reach them, guys. It is individuals with individuals with individuals. That's God's plan. It is disciples making disciples who make disciples. So you better figure out how to share this stuff and get about doing it, or your life ain't going to make any sense. Now, whether you have a gift of this or not, and you see lots of people saved, you are a farmer. Your job is to put seed in the ground, maybe. Your job is to water it. Your job is to pull the weeds up. It's to give a reason, as 1 Peter, I think it's 3:5 says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. That's your job. And I am begging you, I am challenging you, I am pleading with you when you get a chance. And I've told this story in the past, and I probably need to do this some more. I used to have a little thing called tracts, and we may print some up even as a church, something you can hand to somebody when you don't have a lot of time to talk to them. I pulled up one night at a Whataburger and horsed around like I usually do at a drive-in window. Anyhow, and I was sitting there, and someone said, you know, inside, just give them this, just give them this. And I thought, oh, God, I want to get into this. You know, I even have this struggle. Don't think, he does the right thing all the time. Oh, God, do we have to do this now? You know, they'll get it somewhere else. So I said, hey, here's something good for you to read. And I handed it through the window, and I saw the girl take it and open it, waiting on the order. Then I saw her pass it to someone else, and this thing got passed to 2 or 3 people. They're reading it. I drove off, watched the news 3 days later. That Whataburger had been held up. The manager was trying to get the safe open and had been shot in the head and was killed. He couldn't get the safe open fast enough. He said, well, so what? You know what? I might have been the last writer in that person's life. And God said, one more shot. I don't want any to perish. Give them something else. You say, I don't have time for this. Then what the heck do you have time for? You? It's about me, my life, my comfort. Guys, it doesn't take that much time. And you have no idea the reward when you see somebody's life change. Don't depend on the preachers, because you are the preachers. You're it. And I guess the awesome thing, but the tragic thing about doing what I do is I stand here and I see all these people. And I think if something went off inside of you and you said, you know what, God, I'm willing, I'm available, I'll be it. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I don't have any great shakes life to back this up right now, but God, I'm willing. And today at the restaurant, tonight with a friend, on the phone with somebody, if you tell me to say something, I won't be ashamed. I'll confess that I know you. I'll admit it. And if they hit me hard coming back, I'll take the blow, but I'll tell them, God. I'll tell them.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I've never gotten over this. Somebody hung on a cross, not like the pictures show, not with a little drape. The God of the universe hung naked, nailed to a cross for me, so I'd make it. And I don't have the guts to open my mouth and say, you know what? Somebody died for me. Somebody died for you too, and you may not need him, but I need him, and I love him, and he loves me, and my life's never been the same. And I'm telling you, if you're missing what I was missing, then He can change your life. And He died for you, and He loves you, and He's got a plan for you. That's what it's all about, guys. And if they say, no thanks, you say, well, I'll pray for you, or just, I'm glad you let me tell you. That's what it's all about. And then helping them grow from there. It is our job to save the planet, but it's the people on it, not the ground they stand on. And I hope that God will use each of us to do that.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.